So this morning we're going to go back in our teaching again. Hallelujah. We're looking in, and really the title that the Lord spoke to me about when I started in this series was A Full Salvation. And dealing with this subject, the Lord had spoken to me about this some time ago, about a full salvation, and he talked about me. He said, because I come out of like the background, you'd hear the things people call with full gospel and all this kind of, they use the term full gospel and those things. And I remember when I came into the kingdom, people use that term a lot, like, you know, well, we believe the full gospel. And really, during that time when I came into the kingdom, much more of a full gospel or a full salvation was preached. Today, there is a lot of things preached called gospel that is not gospel or is so minute in the gospel. And really, full gospel, many people don't even, I don't know if they know anymore what it even means or whatever it is. And the Lord said to me, we need to come back. He said, you need to understand this. People talk about they want a revival and what brings revival. Let me tell you about revivals. Revivals are preached. See, people get over, it's one thing we have wrong. You can pray about revivals and pray about things to dealing with revival, but revivals are preached. You know, Seymour, who was involved with the, when you go back and look at the in Los Angeles there, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, he came along and people were praying for a move of God. And the move of God, they wanted a move of God, and boy, they were excited about it. But when he showed up, he met some ladies, and he went to see some ladies. God sent him specifically, it was a supernatural things. And he knocked on this woman's door, and they're having a prayer meeting. See, they're in there, they're praying, they want a move of God. But see, praying isn't the only thing about revival. We have a tendency in the church to get stuck on one. God has us do something, we just get stuck on this thing. And we lose the picture. You know? And he knocked on her door and she said they were praying for revival. And he introduced himself and said, I'm the guy God sent to preach your revival. That's what he said. And you know what? He did a good job. Azusa Street was an outpouring of the Spirit that was, man, outside of what men had known and moves of God. And I always thought, I just loved the fact that God picked the black guy. You know, I just always loved that. I thought, just like God. But I want to say something to you because there's some things that the Lord was talking to me about that, you know, we're going to go off on some rabbit trails here, but things we need to get a hold of and we need to grab. You know, we're dealing this thing. I had talked about it some before on Wednesday night, but the Lord had spoke to me. God's been just dealing with me. I don't know about you. I sometimes have to repent often. And not from, I'm just, you know, sinning, because I find out how ignorant I am and what I don't know. See, we consider ourselves so smart, but the Lord said to me, he was over this past, you know, week, they had this election down in Virginia, and people were just all excited about this election. And I would read headlines on things. I'd go online, read headlines, and they made me laugh because there are things I've heard them say before, like, oh boy, this is it. I'll tell you, the Democrats are done now and they're saying this. And they did that during the Trump administration when they had a few good victories in between, and it didn't turn out that way. You see, people get into the natural. But I was over there and they were really getting excited about this election one, but inside of me, there was something wrong and I didn't know what it was. I was like, what's wrong with this? You know, it's not, I thought, well, this is a good thing. At least it should be. It's a good thing. Well, the Lord spoke to me and it wasn't a bad thing, but what he said to me, I realized the limitations that the church puts on him. And he said this, he said, I'm limited by the way the church thinks. I'm limited by how they view things. He said, I'm limited to the people I can bring to power because all the church can see is Democrat and Republican Party. He said, there's people I want to bring from the outside and I cannot because I can only operate within what they will allow me. And I said, "Dear God, forgive me." You see, we need to watch. See, we get over in the areas. We think we're so spiritual and we're praying about stuff. But you know, sometimes we're praying about things that we think is really good, but it ain't what God wants to do something more. Sometimes we don't just stop and ask Him His opinion. Say, "God, who do you really want in office?" See, they gave us all these names to vote for, but who are you voting for? Where's your vote cast? And I said, "Lord," I said, "boy, we need..." Now this is what the Lord said to me. He said, "My word says all things are possible to him that believeth." But he said, "The church ain't operating in that." We limit possibilities. See, there's things I began to look at. How many of you remember when Ross Perot ran for office? Do you remember back to those days Ross Perot ran? These date, you know, people like me, you know, us old fogies. We go back. But anyhow, you know, the whole thing it was. See, I watched all along, I've watched these things, is the limit. And I want to share how you limit. You know, when I look back of things from years ago, I think God had a plan, but the church wouldn't go with the plan. Ross Perot, because here's what most people, "Yeah, but if we vote for Ross Perot, then he won't get enough votes, and because the votes will be divided between the Republicans and them, and then the Democrat will get in office." Because you know why we do that? Because we don't believe all things are possible to him that believeth. That's why. We're scared to come out of the box. It's good preaching, folks. The church, this full gospel church. Now, I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the full gospel world. We point out there at these other ones of what they don't know. But we now need to start looking at what we don't know. I like history, and I know I've studied over like any histories of revivals and things like that, moves of God. I like to look back at people years ago, things that they knew and understand. And I know this, we ain't near as bright as we think we are. They had moves of God we haven't even known nothing about even stepping into. We know nothing about it. I'll tell you what, I've decided a long time ago I need educated. There's things I need to learn and know. But see, we get narrow. And see, we don't see ourselves over time. I've watched in things when I came into the kingdom and we preached full gospel. And today, we've made that thing down to the places like the Lord showed me when he told me to start teaching about it. He said, in the church world today, he said, my gospel is this big. And he said, we preach about 6 inches of it. And we think we got something really big. And there's the rest of this all's out here, the gospel that's not preached. And so we need to get around where we preach a full gospel. Today's gospel is just a forgiveness gospel. That's all people get out of it. When I came into the kingdom, that was part of the gospel. But there was a lot more to it. You know, Jesus had a gospel in his day. The Bible talks about him preaching the gospel of his day. What was in his gospel? Do we get less than what his gospel had? Now that was before his resurrection. Death, burial, and resurrection had more gospel than we got today. My God, if we just preach John the Baptist's gospel, we'd buy it. But see, this is the whole thing of it is, when we have a problem, and this is, everybody deals with this. We get the point to where things work well for us, we're doing pretty good in life and things, and we're going along, and we get the point we think we know. But what happens is when you get to that place, you're already degressing. You never want to arrive at the place that you think you know. You never want to arrive at the place, because what happens, people become unteachable. And we're dealing with a lot of that problem today. Unteachable people who think they know. Who think they know and they don't. See, we got to stay teachable. We must stay in that place. We must always measure. I mean, many years ago, the Lord spoke to me one time and I knew what he's talking about. But he said to me, why do you believe what you believe? So I really knew what he was telling me is go back to the scriptures and start going through and find out why you believe what you believe. And when I started studying, I started finding out there's things I believe that weren't gospelly really accurate. That, oh, I found out things that major ministers were teaching had some truth to it, but weren't all truth. They're good people, not bad. But see, if we don't go back and examine ourselves, if we don't consistently stay with the Word and stay over there being humble as a child, you're not to live as a child, but stay humble as a child. You know, you want to grow up? The average Christian today lives like a baby. Now, that ain't supposed to be. We're supposed to be living like adults, but you keep the humility of a child. You always stay teachable. Always keep yourself teachable. Nobody arrives at the spot where you one day you get the place you don't have to know. As I heard Kenneth Hagin say this, he was asked a question about, do you ever really arrive? And I've heard him talk about, do you ever arrive at the place that you don't need to study this stuff anymore? And he said, if it is, he said, if there is a place you get to there, he said, I ain't found it yet. So he didn't know about it, so I thought it was a good chance that I wasn't going to probably find that either. There's not. There's one thing as I learned long, and you've heard me say this many times. The more I learn about the Word, the more questions I get. Because every time you learn something, then you have to measure that against what you already know. And you think, oh my God, if that was true that he showed me, then what about this? Where does that go to now? See, it's a constant learning. And so we need to stay in that area of constantly learning. The full gospel. Now, we've been dealing with the subject, in this subject, and one of the things that we're teaching on and we've been talking specifically about is being redeemed from the curse of the law. See, in our gospel, and we'll talk a little more about these things, but in our gospel, we need to know the importance. If we're redeemed from something, then therefore we must be redeemed to something. You just can't take somebody out of something that they don't end up. You know, you pull me out of the kingdom of darkness. I'm not just floating out into nowhere somewhere. And that, why? He put us in the kingdom of his Son of his love, the Bible says. So he removed us from something. I'm redeemed from the curse. Well, what does that mean? Then the blessing, because we find out the blessing of Abraham, and we went over and looked at Abraham's blessing. That blessing he had, also the promise of the Spirit. That had to do with the new covenant, which was to come, and we got that. We have Abraham's blessing, but also we have the promise of the Spirit. And then we found out Ephesians told us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. God is not going to bless you. See, there's things that we need. See, these are things that I learned in the beginning about the gospel. See, we don't equate these the gospel. We think the gospel is just about getting saved. The gospel is about your life. It's about your living. It's by living by faith. It's the whole thing. It's the gospel. But we just pick certain parts and if you got that, you're all right. Well, you're not all right because there's much of the gospel. See, today, what we did, we have replaced the deliverance of God with 12-step programs. We don't preach deliverance, therefore people don't get delivered. We preach, you get saved, and then we're going to try to work out all of our problems. And then we're going to try to get God to help us. When God has already freed us from the power of darkness, he is not going to ever free Ed any more from the power of darkness than he has. He has freed me. What I need to do is come to the knowledge that I am free and then walk in that. That's what I need to come to. See, no Christian ever got born again and still bound by the devil. If a Christian ends up bound by the devil, it's because of ignorance and not understanding how to walk free. Christ has freed us. Now, the curse of the law. Now, we read part of the curse last week, but I just want to read you this in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. I like the 20th century New Testament says he's taken the curse for us. And that's what he did. He took the curse. Now we say he took our sins. And then we believe over it says, well, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He took the entire curse. And if you look at the entire curse We read some of it. We read the blessing one week, and then we read some of the curse. We're not going to read all through the curse. I was going to do that, and the Lord said, no, he wanted me to do something else. But anyhow, the curse entails everything, everything under dealing with mankind, anything that could hurt or harm concerning man, and man living a lousy, bad life and separated from God. Anything ugly you can think about, read the curse. And I mean, the curse wasn't bad enough, but Moses threw in there the fact that any kind of disease or any ugly thing that wasn't listed in the curse is, you can just name it. It's part of the curse. So he threw it in there and said, after writing from verse 16 to 68 of all that ugly stuff, and then he said, you know, we're just going to sort of end here at this. Anything ugly and bad I redeemed you from. And the church don't believe that. And even most of the Spirit-filled church doesn't believe that. See, in our teaching here, you need to understand, if God's forgiveness of sin does not release me from the consequences of sin, what good is it? What good? See, we preach a pretty worthless gospel. If it's only got forgiveness of sin. In fact, we saw this in scriptures many times. Paul wrote and said, he talked about being redeemed and he'd say redemption. We have redemption and forgiveness of sin. He put redemption first. Well, we're known for this. We're known for this in Christianity. We usually put things that are God spoke first in some other place. We usually list it down the line somewhere. We move it on. You know, the Bible talks about spirit, soul, and body, and it names it in that order, Paul wrote it. But Christians always go body, soul, and spirit. Always put the body first. Put the things first. Why? Redemption. What you're redeemed from. The consequences of sin. Understand the importance of that. If you're not redeemed from the consequences, you're still in trouble. We looked at the words, we'll look at those again, the words, what the Bible uses for salvation and uses, salvation and saved. We talked about those words, and when we looked at them of how they were used in the Greek language of the day. And God, I don't believe God just happened to use certain language. I don't think it just happened that. I believe it was done with purpose. Because I cannot imagine, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. So Jesus wasn't just saying any words. He was saying specific words. And you would need to know that. This Bible that we have is an amazing book because it was specifically given by God to us. Specifically. And see, now we're considered crazy. You know, the Bible says that our gospel is foolishness. It's foolishness. If you're preaching a gospel that's not foolish, if it don't sound foolish, you're preaching the wrong one. Our gospel does not fit intellect. This is the whole thing of the seeker-friendly church. Trying to make something palatable to everybody. So everybody can feel good about, that's not what the gospel is. The gospel's insane. It is so ridiculously good, it makes no sense. It operates not in the natural. I don't care how smart you think you are. You've already missed it. It's not based on any of our intellect. It's received by faith. We believe that things are true that make no sense. We call things that be not as though they are. We're insane. You're a nutty bunch of people. We walk around and talk. We talk about a God we can't see. We can't see him at all. We talk about knowing him, and you know what? We do. Yet other people can't see him. But we talk about him just like we know him. You're a bunch of nuts. You're crazy. You're a bunch of fools. You know what? Quit trying to explain yourself to people. Let's quit offering somebody something else. Let's quit trying to figure, if the Holy Ghost cannot bring conviction by truth, then let's just go, Jesus, take us home and let's get out of here. What is the purpose? See, my job is not trying to make it everybody understand everything and make it work for the world. That's not my job. You know, my job is to teach Christians, teach you fools. That's my job. My job isn't trying to get the world to understand all this. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. I cannot bring conviction upon a person, but He can. I preach the foolish gospel, and somehow He convicts people. Our foolish message. See, there's much to you and I that we take it, it just seems like, well, yeah, it just works. It seems to be the right thing. Seems good to us. See, we're used to it. And you talk to other people and they look at you like you're a nut. And if they call you a nut, shake your hand and say, thank you. I am so glad. Hallelujah. I'm on the right track. I'm a fool. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm one of the fools. Hallelujah. And tell them if they don't watch it, they'll end up being one of them. Keep messing around me. You'll end up to be one of the fools. Glory to God. See, we need to get over there. Our gospel, it doesn't make sense to the natural. You know, we talk about the goodness of God. People can't even get around it in their mind. I mean, in the church world, the average Christian doesn't believe God would heal. That those days are gone. Why? Because it's foolishness. You know, why would God do that? See, that seems like something out there. It's not, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. God would cause a people to be born again and become and take on His nature. See, this whole, people ain't gonna like the idea when you talk to them about, you know, you're a child of God. You have His nature. You're like He is. See, in the church, we've watered all that down because, see, we want to keep people. We don't want anybody to think that we're different. We were supposed to preach we're different. We're supposed to tell the world. They need to know that we're not like them. You know what? I belong in another planet. Hallelujah. My home ain't here. But see, we keep trying to attend. You know, Jesus didn't come down here. He came as a man. But He offered us something better than being just mere men. What we're doing today is we're offering people in the world what they already are. We offer them what they already have. And you know what? They do that stuff better than us. We try to have our little light shows in the church. They know how to have light shows. The world will put one on that'll knock your eyes out. I mean, go to Disney, go any of the places, go to those places. And the church plays around with their little smoke machines and do their little stupid dancing around and stuff and do their things, act like they're having church, playing games. And the only reason they do it, because they couldn't get the glory of God there to save their life. People have lost because we don't preach the gospel. The gospel is the words of God that we believe that allow God to move among us. And if God don't move among us, something's wrong with our gospel. See, we have to admit that. If God doesn't move, if God doesn't show up, I can tell. I'm over the years. If I can't get God to move in my life, I've learned this over the years. I stop and say, okay, what am I doing wrong? There's something the matter, something I need to change. Somehow God's trying to do something. I'm going to be in sin, but God's trying to do something. I'm not hooked with where He's at. I need to find out what it is. I need to find out how I need to hook up, to get hooked with what He's doing right now. And I've always found this. When I'm hooked with Him, He moves. And I usually find this out. He's been moving. I just ain't been moving in the right direction. But I get hooked up with Him, He moves. And see, we need to understand that. We have a God. I'm convinced of the fact that God speaks to people much more than we hear. We just are not in position. We're not hearing. We limit sometimes how we can hear. I've found that out already. You know, there's certain things I've had God over the last about 5 years where I have seen things and I said, Lord, You've been trying to show me this thing for a long time and I haven't seen it. But I can see now, because why? It didn't fit the way I thought. So I kept ignoring that. I kept getting thoughts in a certain place and I thought, no, this is the way it is over here, you know. So I kept putting it aside and I realized after a while, God's been trying all this time. I could have known that for a long time, but I didn't know it because of the way I was thinking. Now, he didn't kick me. He didn't yell at me. He didn't do nothing because he's dealing with us all the time in that manner. He's dealing with all of us all the time like that. We limit him by the way we think about things. This is why it's so important to stay in line with the Word of God so he can teach us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that curse, just think about anything ugly and bad that you can think about. And we're not talking about Democrats and Republicans. Let's get this out. We've got to get this stuff out of our mind. We're dealing with spiritual powers, and this is why we haven't changed things. We're fighting people, we're fighting stuff, we're fighting ideologies, we're fighting all these things. And the devil loves it. He loves that people get tied into those games. People don't identify, even with themselves. They're being oppressed by the devil. They don't even know it. They think, you know, I'm over. Well, I'm just trying to believe God. The devil, not only, I don't want you to get devil kooky, but you need to know when you're being oppressed. When are you being oppressed? You need to know that. You know, I find sometimes when if I start losing my joy, I know this. I'm being oppressed by the devil because that ain't Ed. That ain't it. That's not me to lose joy. That's not me. And if I find I'm in a position, I'm being oppressed. Demonic oppression is trying to come on me, and I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to do that. I don't wake up on the wrong side of the bed, and Monday mornings don't bother me at all. I'll tell you what, I'd take a whole full week of Mondays. I don't care. See, if things get to you, it's because it's allowed to. We open the door to things. We got to get ourselves over to where, hold it, you know. I was like Brother Hagin used to teach us and that stuff. And he used to say, you know, when you're going through a test and trial, that's a wonderful time to use your faith, hallelujah, and really to prove that you have authority over the devil. It's a good opportunity to use your faith. He gives a wonderful opportunity. And I learned that's what we have to do when things come and things are coming against us. Our view of what comes against us. Do we see that we are more than conquerors? Or are we trying to be more than conquerors? What are we doing? See, the Bible tells us all that we are, and we're trying to become that when we are that. The Lord spoke to me years ago about that. He said, I don't understand my people trying to become what they are. He said, I don't understand it. He said, the Bible says I've done this. You know, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, and Christians are trying to get the mind of Christ. The Bible says you have it. See, you got to receive that that's true, that you have it. I have the mind of Christ. I got it. Hallelujah. See, this is full gospel stuff, folks. One of the things that the curse of the law is you mentally messed up. We know this, that the curse is sure going on in our nation. We got more mentally messed up people than a little bit. The curse is running rampant, and we're trying to deal with it with votes and all that kind of stuff. No, the devil's running rampant. The curse is running rampant, and the church is trying to deal with it on the same level that the world deals with these things, and we're not supposed to. We need to identify, hey, this stuff don't belong to us. It's not ours. God's already redeemed me from it. He's not going to redeem me from it. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law through faith in Christ Jesus. I have been. Now, see, we're dealing with a subject. This is where the life and walk of faith comes in. This is the walk of faith. I'm walking along, and it seems like I'm oppressed, and I'm saying, no, I refuse. I refuse oppression in the name of Jesus. I'm not oppressed. I'm blessed. See, and I'm walking around talking and saying something. See, I'm one of those insane people. I even talk to myself. I'm so crazy, I talk to myself. It's one thing as I learned. You ain't your own best cheerleader. You'll probably never have one. You ain't going to have run around people running around you going rah, rah, sis, goom, bah. You're going to have to do your cheering. You're going to have to learn to be your cheerleader. It's good every once in a while when you get somebody to join you in cheering, but lots of times they don't. But you got to learn to cheer. You got to learn yourself to stop and say, praise God, I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I'm not cursed. Hallelujah. I'm not cursed. I refuse the curse in the name of Jesus. Refusing sickness, disease, poverty, or whatever else, mental torment, anything that would come along to steal, kill, or destroy is under the curse of the law, which you have been redeemed, not going to be. You have been blessed, not going to be blessed. And see, when we talk those things and say those things, in the natural, we might look and say, it doesn't seem like I'm blessed at all. I have a choice. Either I become the fool of the gospel or I glorify the devil. One of the two. One of the two I'm gonna do. Become a fool of the gospel, say, I'm sorry, I'm blessed in the name of Jesus, glory to God, I'm doing wonderful. And everybody's looking at you like, he's crazy. Oh yeah, he's a nut. He is a fool. Now we can see. I can see you have this problem. I can see it. I can see your trouble. And we're saying, oh, I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. Oh, one of those guys are you. Oh my God, you're one of those. Yes, sir, I'm the fool. I'm the fool. I qualify as the fool. I used to say this to people. Say, if you don't believe what I'm saying is true, just hide and watch. You'll see it. You'll get to what one morning you're going to wake up and say, my God, he was right. It happened to him, just like he said. That fool, boy, he was lucky. Oh yeah, they'll do that. Hallelujah. I went to a church where a woman got upset. She said, I was too happy something bad needed to happen to me. She didn't know I had tons of bad stuff happen to me. But see, because I didn't whine and cry like she did about everything, she thought, you know, I just have a life, I don't face nothing. You know, the church world thinks if you boo-hoo, that's spiritual. You get a little tear in your eye and you pray, you're real spiritual. But if you pray and smile, there's something wrong with you. You flaky. You ever been there? Yeah, they do. But if you're gonna get wimpy and whine, oh yeah. Oh boy, I'm really touching God now. Now I prayed and wept already in those things, but I'm gonna tell you, I learned a long time ago, God is moved more by faith than tears. He's moved more by faith than tears. I've cried more about other people's problems than I've done my own. I usually find out the whiners, they don't ever cry about anybody else's problem. They're always whining about themselves. That's what they do. Hallelujah. But see, this walk of faith. Don't think that you're strange. Quit trying to fit in. You're not going to fit in. See, there's going to be a select group of people. It's the people of faith is where you're going to fit into. That's where you fit. If you walk by faith, you just ain't going to fit into other groups. It's not going to work. I realized that a long time ago. You know, the more you walk by faith, the more you understand how this thing goes, the more foolish you seem to those who don't understand faith, don't know how to walk in it, the more foolish that they are. You know, I've learned just like with Kenneth Hagin talked about a minister he knew real well and said he was a friend, very nice man, good to him, this other minister. And I said, but he said, this guy knew nothing about faith. He said he could only ever believe in what he saw, what he could see or feel. He said you couldn't talk faith to that man for nothing. He said, a real nice man, but you couldn't talk faith to him. So see, there's levels you can't do. Because why? You get over into the areas of faith. People don't understand it. It's like talking a foreign language. Like he said to Kenneth Hagin, he had one of Brother Hagin, I think it was, I don't know, it was one of Smith's Wigglesworth books or one of those guys' books. And this man had the book and he said to Kenneth, do you understand this? And Kenneth Hagin said to him, he said, yeah, he said, he talks my language. And he said, I've read this book 3 times and I just can't. He said, I can't figure out what on earth this man's saying. Well, see, those kind of people, you talk faith to them, you know what they think? You're foolish. You're weird. You're strange. See, what seems natural to us is not natural to everybody around us. See, we got born again. Our sins were not forgiven on the level. See, The church today preaches forgiveness of sin on the level of the old covenant. It preaches the covering of blood. Your sin wasn't covered, it was removed. Now, how was it removed? This is why, see, we have left the preaching of the new birth. Your sin was removed by the killing of the old man. The old man is, the man of sin is dead. And we became a new creation. The blood did not cover my sin. It killed me. Glory to God, it killed me! You needed killed, you ignoramus. You were so bad off. God couldn't even fix you. He had to make a new one. Hallelujah. That was a good thing to do. He made us a new creation. And the new creation no longer has the sin nature. If you're born again, you do not have the sin nature. That's the gospel. We never are dealing with the old man. We deal with the flesh. We don't deal with the old man. You can't. Why would we go dig him up and drag him out again? Christianity has done nothing but over the last 20 years is drug the old dead man around with them all the time. They're walking with death hanging on them all the time. But it's been preached to them. Death has been preached. Jesus never gets off the cross. We have a cross religion. We don't have a throne religion. We got a cross religion. We love the death story. Thank God what Jesus did in His death, burial, and resurrection. Glory to God. But I'll tell you what, He enthroned us. The church is seated together with Him. We're born again. Nobody who is not born again could be seated in heavenly places. That's an impossibility. If somebody with just covered with the blood, they ain't going. They're staying right here. It ain't happening. The thing that changed us was the new birth. It's this miraculous, crazy thing that happened to us. This foolish gospel that we believe. This craziness. We're not like everybody else. See, we have this great sickness in our society of weak personalities. Everybody trying to be liked by somebody. And so we yield to anything to get people to like us because we have become so weak. There's one thing as I loved about the gospel when I was got a hold of it. It made me strong. I no longer had to identify with man to find out who I was. I could identify with God to find out who I was. But see, we don't have that today. The church is filled with weakness. It's filled with people they don't know. And I feel sorry for them. I'm not criticizing them. The poor people ain't heard it. Nobody. The preacher, it's just like with Israel. The priest is as ignorant as the people are. He don't know nothing. He's went to schools and been taught so much that he's so dumb now. He don't know it all. He don't know. Full of psychology. Folks, the revival will come with the preaching of the gospel. Men cannot be delivered unless it's preached. You can't deliver them just through prayer. It must be preached. We need to get away from this. We get focused. God's dealing with us over in a certain thing and we get so focused that after that becomes everything. No, it's part of the picture. And it has its place. Prayer has its place. But it's not everything. You know, I remember you listened to the story that Kenneth Hagin talked about. God had him intercede for a man to be saved. But it's very interesting. The man got saved when he came into the service. He prayed for him. But the man didn't get saved until he came into the service and heard the gospel preach. So no matter how much he prayed for him, that man wasn't getting saved till he heard the gospel preach. Paul wrote about that in Romans. Remember what he said about preaching? How are they going to hear unless somebody preaches? See, it's the whole picture. Prayer has its part. Preaching has its part. We take each part and we fit them together and it brings it about. See, right now, God is starting to deal with it because number one, we want revival, but we need preachers. We need preachers of the gospel, and there's hardly any out there. They're all preaching religious stuff. They're preaching a religious salvation. That isn't what we want. We want something supernatural that changes people. I want people to have the supernatural thing that happened to me where I became a different person. Where God took a druggie and an alcoholic and turned him into a preacher. Now that's something. Hallelujah. But see, that's what the gospel did that. The gospel, because I was fortunate enough to have somebody preach me a gospel that's bigger than forgiveness of sin. They preached a gospel. I heard a gospel that would deliver me from the mess I was in. That I wasn't going to have to spend 10 years in programs trying to go through, you know, counseling to get down, to get to the place. You know, some years ago, a person came and handed me a book, and they were, I don't know if you remember back some years ago, they had all this thing was going on about women and stuff that were, you know, in some ways hurt or done things to them, and they started on this thing about, big thing became a counseling women. And this person came and gave me a book and said, you need to read this. It's a really good book on counseling to help women who have been hurt and stuff. And I looked at, in the beginning it opens up and the guy said, it's going to take about anywhere from 5 to 9 years for a woman to get straightened out in here. And I said, if God, that's the best God can do, I won't serve that moron. He's an idiot. If God can't do better than 5 to 9 years of counseling, I said, dear God, say, I want to go into the money counseling business. That's what I'm going to go into this $200 an hour stuff. We're going to get into the good stuff, make some bucks. Because if I have to sit and talk to somebody for 10 years, dear God, I don't want to see nobody that often. I said, I know where to put that book in the garbage can. That's where that one goes because it's not gospel. God delivered me. I am not special. There is nothing special about me. The only thing that's special is my God and His gospel, His word. That is what's special. God will deliver people if we preach it and they believe it. So we need to come to that place where it's preached. People today out here in a mess, they do not have 5 to 9 years to get straight. We can't sit and mess around with this stupid stuff. We need a gospel. We need to turn our God loose. We've held Him bound up where He can't do what He wants to do. And He is in the setting free business. Our God is a deliverer. That's what He does. That's His business. Hallelujah. He's going to have to, if we don't make some changes, He's going to have to run over the Christians and get His job done. See, we bring the gospel. We got to come back with the gospel of deliverance again. A gospel that we have the guts to stand in front of people and say, our God is big enough to change you. And have the guts to say, He will do it. Say, well, you know, we'll just pray and see what God does. Let's do that nice little spiritual number. Say, no, I'm going to pray and God's going to move. What do you think about that? Amen. Hallelujah. When I pray, God answers. Oh, what if He don't? Well, don't worry, He won't. You already said, what if He don't? You weren't in faith with it anyhow. When I pray, God hears me. God responds to me. Say, well, how do you do that? I just believe it. I don't know. There's nothing special about it. Jesus said, if I ask the Father anything in His name, He'd give it to me. Gee, I wonder if Jesus lied. See, we talk about loving a liar. We love this God you can't trust. Jesus ain't a liar. God's running and working. He's doing things. God had to correct me on some of that stuff years ago. I got over praying concerning certain people and problems, things they were going through, and I started praying, asking God about those individuals and asking Him to move to do some things. Well, it didn't seem like things were happening for a long period of time, and I prayed for him, and I said to the Lord one day about that. And the Lord said, when you pray to me by faith, He said, I begin to move. And he said, just because you don't see anything. He said, you asked me to move on people. He said, I move because you ask me. He said, sometimes they don't respond. They won't cooperate. He said, it isn't because your prayer isn't going to answer. He said, it's their fault. Amen. He said, I'm moving. See, we get into nuttiness and we see that. And this is how all this stuff starts. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says later. It ain't in the Bible, but it's become scripture to the church. When you ask in faith, God's moving. God's moving, folks. Hallelujah. Get excited. See, if you don't think God moves, you ain't going to want to pray often. You're not going to want to get in God's face about things if you don't know if it's going to work. Well, now, what if you thought it worked? My God, we'd have trouble dragging people out from the presence of God. They'd want to be in His face all the time. See, we would know we have a problem. People have a problem praying. Because there's a faith problem in that area. There's the problem with seeing. We have to see something that draws us to something. But see, praying's the same thing. It's a place of faith that you walk into. And I'll tell you what, God's always excited to see His people step into that place. Communicating with Him. In communion with Him. That's where He waits for. He waits for that place. That's a place you want to walk in by faith. That's where the place where He'll explain to you things. That's where the place where I learn stuff. You know, just being honest about it, I mean, most of the things of revelations or any visions or anything I've had have all taken place while I've been praying. I've spent time. There's things I've had once in a while and I've had visions here and there. But lots of times when I'm praying, that's when revelations come to me. Revelations come to me. I'm praying. Mine sometimes not even praying about things, revelation. And all of a sudden He'll talk to me about a certain thing and tell me something. So I just sort of assume. And then if you look in the New Testament, you find out that most of the time that visions and different things that happened with people, they were praying. How about that? See, there's certain keys here to this stuff, folks. But see, people read the Bible and don't pay attention to much. There's a lot you can learn just by what those kind of things that went on. What were they doing when this happened? What were they doing when this revelation came? See, as a probably might have to do the same thing if I want a revelation. Spend some time with God. Hallelujah. Get over there and talk with the invisible God. Get over there, move my lips and talk in the air to somebody I can't see. Now you talk about foolish. That's crazy. See, there he is. See, he belongs in a home somewhere. He needs a shot and put in a room someplace, you know. Because he's talking to somebody we can't see. And he's hearing answers. Woo! What a crazy bunch of people. Hallelujah. Oh, let me alone. I'm happy. Hallelujah. I just want to, just encourage you this morning, you know. We need to walk in line. We need to walk in line with God's Word. We need to come back to the thing. As the Bible tells us in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Most of the battle of the church has been fighting here in America is why over the last so many years things have just not worked out well. Because, you know, even when like we thought, well, Trump was going to be the answer. And we, you know, I'm going to just tell you. What the Lord showed me. We messed up in that. Because His church started treating Him like He was God. That He was the answer to America. God wasn't. See, we start over and we get... And see, this is... To see something with the eye, you leave the faith place. You leave the faith place to... The things we had happen didn't come. Trump didn't get into office by the eye. People prayed... And people sought God. It's when the Lord told me when the things, I asked Him after the Trump election about things that went on. I wanted to know. I had a sense way before the election that Trump was not going to be the president. And I didn't know why. But I asked the Lord about it. And He told me something that He had spoken to me some time ago. And He had said to Randall Greer. I remember being in a meeting and Randall Greer said this to us. He said, Trump, when Trump first got into office, he said Trump is a reprieve for America. Was a reprieve. Well, the Lord spoke to me. I was praying one day, and the Lord spoke to me specifically about Trump being a reprieve. And see, this is the whole thing. What is a reprieve? You see, I can even say with Randy, I don't know that he really thought about what Lord said when Lord said he was a reprieve. The word reprieve is when somebody is found guilty of something and they have been sentenced. But a reprieve is that sentence is held off for a time. Well, I was praying and asking the Lord about this, and I said to the Lord, you said about this reprieve. He said, yes, I told you Trump was a reprieve. And he said to me, go look up what reprieve means. So I did. Well, when I looked up what it meant, he spoke to me again. And he said, I told you Trump was a reprieve. It was a held off sentence against America. He said, judgment's coming. He said, you ain't going to stop the judgment. You can hold it off. But he said, the church hasn't held it off. He said, they could have held the reprieve longer, but they did not. The church didn't hold the reprieve off. The judgment's already set. The judgment was set on America before he ever came to office. Look, God's grace does not cancel out judgment. Sin must be answered to, either repented or dealt with. We have refused to deal with it. We have refused to repent, and judgment is at hand. Judgment's here. Now, the church can step in to hold things back. And as I told you guys, we're the only group that can do it. There's not another group. There's not another group in America that can stop it. There's not another group in this planet that can stop it. We're the only ones who have the authority to withhold Satan coming into his fullness. We're the only group. We're the only group that has authority over it. There is no other group that has authority over it. And let me say to you to this, that the Lord told me many years ago, the Spirit-filled church is the only one can bring it to its fullness, because we're the only one that can talk to God in His language instead of out of our own minds all the time. The whole point of speaking in tongues is we can talk to God in God's language. We can get things fulfilled. The Lord told me, He said, Christians who don't pray in tongues, they cannot bring to pass what is needed in these last days. They can't bring it to pass. Now, we're not saying there's any criticism or we're so much smarter and better. But I'm saying we have the tool that we don't use. When Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, who they never wanted to shut up in tongues, said, I speak in tongues more than you all. But he said, in the church, they were doing it all in the church. He's doing it outside. What's he doing? That's his prayer life out there. He's praying in tongues constantly. Speaking to God to bring things to pass that man cannot bring to pass by his intellect. Bringing things to pass. We have an ability. God is going to hold the Spirit-filled church accountable. He will hold the Spirit-filled church accountable. He's going to hold us accountable for what we have and don't do with what we have. Hallelujah. You know, well, if we don't face these things, we never change. And I mean, this ain't the popular preaching stuff. This isn't the pew jumping and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what, this is the get things done, change the world stuff. This is the change. See, we don't need a crowd to change the world. If God said he could turn around a nation if he could find one guy to pray for him, what could he do to this world if a few in the church world would stand up and say, hey, hold, we're going to pray till this sucker gets changed. We ain't going to let it go no further. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, I believe we could do it because we could just be crazy enough, couldn't we? We can be foolish enough. See, now people sit around, who do you think you are? It's not who I think I am. It's who I belong to. Hallelujah. It's who I belong to. Hallelujah. You can mess with me and do anything you want. When you mess with him, you're in trouble. Hallelujah. In fact, if you mess with me, he might not like it much. His people. He's touchy about it. He is touchy about it with His people. People have gotten along a long time messing around with God's people. But I'm going to tell you, I done read Revelation. Ain't going to go well. Ain't going to go well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to do something here this morning that the Lord dealt with me. It's funny. We were down with Brother Randy, and he laid hands on us when we were down there on one morning. It was Tuesday. We had a Tuesday night meeting and Wednesday morning. He laid hands on us. And one of the things he's dealing with is we need to see this and understand is he talked about it and he was really being accurate about what he was saying. This is he was laying hands on people, but he's really was dealing with the fact that we in the church, we're dealing with demonic stuff. Right now, there is huge amounts of demonic pressure going on in our nation. There's great force against the church. And identify that fact. See, when Scripture tells us, you know, don't think it's strange the fiery trials you go through. Don't think it's strange. You're being weird. Well, Paul in his day went through them, but we're running on the end of this thing. There is huge amounts of pressure that Satan is bringing to bear. Satan does not want this last revival. And I want to tell you what, if you want this revival, you're a target of Satan. You need to understand that. You're a target. You need to be identified. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want I'm going to tell you, if he knows you'll pray about this thing, he knows you'll get in the face of God about this stuff, he ain't going to like it. I'm just telling you. He's going to come visit you because he's going to want to do what he can. If he can't get to you, he'll try to get the people around you to get to you. He'll do all kind of things to try to make it tough on you because he does not want this move of God. He don't want any moves of God. But this last one, there's one thing that he knows. This is going to take a bunch of people out of his kingdom and is going to bring them into the kingdom of God. He knows that. He knows that. And there's pressure that comes against us. I find all the time, every time I step over, you know, I used to see this over the years where I would move along with God and things, you know, you step into some areas and then sometimes you come along and it seemed then pressure would come knocking on your door. It seemed like anymore, every time I make something, an inroad to God, the next morning I can wake up and something's there trying to mess it up. Something, it's just like one thing right after the other comes to try to stop you in that area. But I understand this. There's nothing wrong with me. See, you need to get this. See, this is what the devil will try to get you. There's something wrong with you. See, you're messed up. It would all be working great if you were just really spiritual. Or if you really know, but see, you're not. And see, this is what he's been doing to people. He's been moving along with people, trying to make the people who are after God feel like they are something less. He keeps trying to do that. He keeps trying. He's a thief. And he's a liar. You see, we get over and start thinking there's something wrong with us. What's the matter with me? See, you can get over there and it's easy to enter that thing. It's what's wrong with me? See, you know, things ought to be going better, you know. You know, it doesn't matter how much I get blessed. Oppression, different things come and different things. You know, sometimes it seems like I pray for people and it gets worse. And lately it seems it goes a lot with things. It's like, but see the whole thing, what is it? You can't live in that place of the sea. You can't live in that place, but sometimes you can't help but see. And you fight that, and as soon as the enemy comes along, like, you know, you're wasting your time doing it. You just, you know, to get you over. Who are you? You know, you think you have the faith. Well, number one, my faith isn't in me. My faith's not in me. See, I can have big faith in God, but I'm very questionable about it. I'm very questionable about me. But I have no questions about Him. And that's where our faith lies. See, the devil will try to put, he'll try to be put in your hand what you're trusting God for. And it ain't your hand, that's why you're trusting God. You're trusting the Lord. You ain't trusting you. But he'll try to bring it over and put it in your hand. Say, this is about you. No, it isn't about me. This is about him. Oh, he don't like that. He don't like that when you look at him. Say, hey, come here, let me show you the guy. I'll show you the one where I'm looking at. See, he don't like that. But see, some of you, and I don't know everybody, you might deal. Do you deal with oppression? And Randy laid hands on everybody who wanted to lay hands on. I think he laid hands probably on everybody. But it's the whole thing is to push back oppression. See, we need to become, to make Satan a target. We have targeted too many things. He's our problem. But that is a problem, and he's the major problem, and we have authority over him. This where it comes down to this. As you know, when Randy was going to lay hands on me, the Lord said this to me. He said, when you go back, I want you to lay hands on what's imparted to you. I want you to impart it to others. He said, that's what I want you to do. Hallelujah. And the whole point of it is this, is we're walking forward by faith. There's nothing greater than the corporate anointing when believers are together standing in faith. That's what this whole thing's about. It's about believers standing in faith with one another. The devil hates this. He hates the fact that believers get together and their minds and focuses are on God. And he hates it. But I tell you what, it's a house built together by God, by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the cement that holds this thing together. The Holy Ghost makes this thing work. And this corporate anointing. See, people think, well, maybe I don't have much faith. But when you mix this person's faith with that person's faith with this person's faith, you end up with a bunch of faith that is beyond our individual faith. It's beyond us. Hallelujah. And then, if you're dumb enough to get an agreement on it, Jesus gets in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She said, where two or three are together in my name, I'm there in the midst. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God and our agreement. So I'm just saying, if anybody wants to lay hands laid on them, we're just taking authority over Satan. We're pushing him back over from our lives. He has come against God's people. And you're God's people. You ain't the devil's people. You're not. You're God's people. Hallelujah. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're believers. Hallelujah. You have the Holy Ghost. God lives in you. You're the temple of God. Satan has no right to play with you. And we as the church need to stand against any of his shenanigans to stand against you. Hallelujah. So we're asking, anybody wants to come? We're going to lay hands today. If anybody wants to come, come on down. Hallelujah. Step forward this way up here and stand here. And we're just going to minister this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can choose, like, ones can stand out the side. We'll get people in sin. Once ones leave, we'll have others. You can come in up here. You and Dan come in. But we'll move other ones in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The truth makes us free. Hallelujah. You're children of God. You're not possessed by the devil. You're nothing wrong with it. The devil ain't dominating, ruling your life. That's not what this is about. This is about us using our faith, standing against demonic powers.
Amen.
That come and oppress us and try to hold us back. Hallelujah. He's trying to keep us. He don't want you to get revelation. He don't want you to get comprehension of the word about things. He doesn't want you to walk in the places God has for you. He don't want you to flow in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He wants to stop things. He wants to hold it back. Well, you're just not spiritual enough. You're just not this, or you're not just that. But God has something different to say in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The good work that he started in you, he's going to bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. step forward up here. Step up and pray. People step forward. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we take authority over Satan. Satan, get your hands off my brother in the name of Jesus. Loose him and let him go in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I thank you. Your people are free in the name of Jesus. Free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Devil, get your hands off in the name of, this is not your child. This is God's child in the name of Jesus. He's free. Hallelujah. You have no right to mess with him. You have no right in the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you. Get back in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By the power of the Holy Spirit, go forward in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Free in the name of Jesus. Devil, get your hands off of her right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You back off. She does not belong to you. She belongs to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Dan's free in Jesus' name. He's free in Jesus' name. God's working mightily in him in Jesus' name. Devil, get back in Jesus' name. Let him loose. Let him loose. Hallelujah. You ones that have gone, move back and we'll let other ones come in. Come on up here. Hallelujah. And you come up here. Come forward here. Step forward here. I won't bite anybody, honest. I haven't bitten anybody in a long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll minister to you two guys then, separately, okay? And I do that. Hallelujah. I don't know why. I just felt set to do that. We'll just, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, devil, get your hands off of God's child right now in the name of Jesus. Take your oppression and go. Take your oppression and go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Free in the name of Jesus. Free completely. Hallelujah. This is God's child. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, she's free. Hallelujah. No bondage in the name of Jesus. Free. Free, free in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Free indeed. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father, for freedom in the name of Jesus. The power of God working mightily. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Oh, it's all been a lie. You're going far beyond. Oh, he's trying to tell you things, but it's all been a lie. It ain't true. You're free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on over here. Move over in here toward the center. Come up here closer. Move up this way here closer, folks. Hallelujah. Step people in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil, get your hands off in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for freedom in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Devil, you have no place. You have no thought in her life in the name of Jesus Christ. You're a liar. You're a liar in Jesus' name. Father, freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom in the name of Jesus. Get your hands. Get your hands off of this family in the name of Jesus Christ. Devil, you have no right. You have no right to them. They're the child of God. You have no right to bring any oppression, any troubles. Get back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Working mightily, mightily, mightily in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Free in the name of Jesus. Free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The good work that he started, he's bringing it to completion. The devil's a lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not going under. You're going over in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's the one that called you out of darkness. He's the one that brought you to light. And he will take you where he desires in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We'll just see with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Devil, 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 stop in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Stepping into a greater glory. Stepping into a greater glory. It's the time. It's the time. The Lord spoke to you in the past and told you about things he would do in the future. Those days are here, says the Lord. I will come and visit with you and will talk to you about these things. And you will know. You will know and understand things that then you will be able to step into them without any problem at all. Hallelujah. 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 The past is a laugh. The future is the glory. It doesn't matter what happened with the past. It's what's coming upon you. God has put... Oh, you're coming to step into a place... I keep getting a sense that you haven't known about. A place that God is going to set you in. Hallelujah. For what has happened has only set things in order. That God's perfect will and plan is coming. And these last days will be days of glory for you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, in the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, get your hands off of God's children in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name, devil, we bind you, command you to cease and desist in your actions against God's children. I thank you. Revelation, understanding will flow mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And great joy, great joy, great joy, great joy. Hallelujah. Great joy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The devil has tried, but he's lost. He's lost. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, truth prevails in Jesus' name. Truth prevails in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I haven't had anointing like that on me for a long time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. My, my, my. My, my. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, there's a move of God. God is moving. Hallelujah. God's moving. See, oh, my, 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 my. I just keep getting a sense of an explosion, of an explosion, of an explosion coming forth. Hallelujah. An explosion. Hallelujah. 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 There's a breaking free in the church. Hallelujah. A breaking free. A breaking free. Hallelujah. Not bound anymore. Not held back anymore. Hallelujah. 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 The joy of the Lord is being restored to the church again. Hallelujah. Laughter is coming to the church again. Oh, things will happen. But, you know, I could look on two sides. There's things coming that people will grieve and have great sorrow. But I see laughter in the church. I see glory. Hallelujah. Because the church is going to laugh at the devil. He's going to laugh at all his shenanigans and all the things that he's doing. And say, no, no, no. You're throwing smoke and blowing smoke. That's all you're doing. Hallelujah. Because the great glory of God is about to be revealed. When the Lord spoke to me and told me and said to me, He's going to, just like Elijah, when He brought him out at the end of the drought, He said, I'm about to bring the church out. I'm about to bring the church out. See, and not just any church. He said, the remnant church. I'm about to bring them out to reveal my glory. Hallelujah. See, we've been sealed aside. He told me, he said, just as Elijah was away for those three years, and Elijah was, he said, where he fed him and he gave him drink. He said, I fed the remnant church on my word. And he said, I've given them to drink of my spirit while they've been away. He said, they haven't done anything wrong. He said, I have put them away because of the drought. And I've let the world sit in their mess. And he said, but now, he said, I'm going to bring, see the drought. It's about to end. Just like with Elijah, the drought is about to end. And glory, the rain, see, after the drought, the rain comes. The rain comes. See, we've been wanting harvest. Harvest is coming. Do you know what the fire was about with Elijah? The fire was about turning the hearts of God's people back to Him. That's what it's about. And we're about to pour out the fire. And many of God's people will turn back. And then the rain, the Lord said to me, then great torrents of rain will come. And He said, there'll be a harvest. And then the church leaves. The great harvest. And then the church leaves. Hallelujah. I want you to know this. We ain't missing it, folks. We're running in the timetable. We're in the middle of this thing. We're not missing it. Now, there's plenty of people that don't know it. But see, if somebody knows it, we can point them to the direction. Hallelujah. Many will hook up. Many will hook up. Many will hook up. Hallelujah. But we're not missing. There's nothing wrong with us. Hallelujah. We've been in the time of God's been feeding us. He's been getting us ready for this thing. He's been giving us the drink of the Spirit. He's been turning around over here, feeding us the Word, setting us in line for this time, for our place. The Lord spoke to me back when I first became a Christian, and He said, your fulfillment of your ministry is for the last days. He said, I will bring you into the fullness that I've called you to. He said, it won't be till then. He said, then you'll come out. And He told me this, many people, ministries of people who will sit idle, it seems like for a long time, wondering what they're called to do. He said, I have them set aside. He said, when the last days come and my last call, then they will come into the fullness of their ministry and I will use them and glory will be poured out through them. Hallelujah. See, many people said sometimes, well, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't God use me? See, don't get in that mind frame. See, you get in that mind frame. See, I've never worried about whether things blew up big with me or not. Thank God. I knew there's my day is coming. And it's to fulfill God's plan, not His plan. It's not to fulfill me. I don't have to show nobody nothing. I know the Holy Ghost. I can get an anointing on me. I can know God. So see, I don't have to play in those games with people. I don't have to show nobody nothing. Amen. The only one I need to demonstrate to is my Lord. Amen. And that's with you too. Hallelujah. Your spot might seem little to you now. Hallelujah. But you keep doing what's little, and I'll tell you, you watch big blow up on you. Amen. Hallelujah. You just keep following God. Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, I'm so moved by your love for your people. I am just so moved by your compassion and your great heart for your people and your love. Lord God, your heart goes out to all yours. They're just such treasures to you. They're treasures to you, Lord God, and I want to thank you. Lord God, it's a wonderful thing to be among them. It's a wonderful thing to walk among people who love the Lord their God. Hallelujah. And I just thank you. I thank you I get to be a part. Lord God, whatever it is in this day and time, I'm just glad I get to be a part. I get to be a part of your work and your labor. And I get to part to hook together with the rest of the body of Christ to fulfill your plans. How wonderful that is. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've accomplished and done in us today. Lord God, we don't take anything to ourselves that we've done anything wonderful. That ain't happened. You did a lot wonderful. Hallelujah. You're the one that anoints. You're the one that gives wisdom. You're the one that puts glorious words in people's mouths. You're the one, hallelujah, that we exalt today. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.